Here's something that's not related to our episode today at all, but I gotta get this off my chest. For work, I do renovations. And legally, we need to bring in plumbers and electricians sometimes due to permits and rules and stuff.
Ugh, ridiculous.
And so they're there sometimes. And this week, I was working with one of the plumbers nearby, and I was talking to my coworker about different movies and yada yada yada. And I like to think that I do a lot of self-control. When someone calls a movie by slightly the wrong name, I let it slide type of thing.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Not that I'm actually.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The I'm actually in me. I gotta swallow it.
Yeah.
But this guy has been listening to me talk about movies for like an hour and a half. And he comes out and he goes, "Oh, hey, have you seen those Spider-Man doing the multiverse movies?" And I went, "Oh boy." Because
self-control.
Because my favorite movie of all time is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. but I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "What do you think of the second one?" I thought it was pretty good. But I do think the first one is better.
Agreed.
And he goes, "Yeah, I totally feel the same. I thought it was really weird that they took the story away from Milo and started doing something else." And man, like, I had to hold it back hard and not be like, actually, his name is Miles, and these movies are called Into and Across the Spider-Verse, not doing the multiverse. But I held it down, and when he left, I just kind of let out like a, all the anger and pain inside of me.
You go home, but you know, set up the punching bag, release all the tension.
It took a lot, though. It was rough.
I guess I've told you about my condition.
Only every time I see
it. If you're gonna build a time machine into a car, why not do it with some style?
Hokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster, you say.
Now say my name.
I am Iron Man.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Screen Time Podcast. I'm Connor.
And I'm Luke.
And the Oscars are coming up.
They are, again.
And because it's really cool when you on the internet say, "Hey, I think this is going to win," and then it wins, we're doing an episode of Oscar predictions.
Yeah.
I want to say two things up first. One, I want to give a shout out to the Gold Knight website on the internet.
Savior they of have, the universe.
Have made one, a ballot of the nominations and categories really well put together.
Yeah, and you can have horizontal or vertical ballots, like depending on which format you want. Like, yes, it's beautiful. Thank you.
Really well put together. They also release like a checklist of every single movie that's been nominated for anything, and it's the title of the movie and everything it's been nominated for underneath it.
Yeah,
in alphabetical order. They've been super helpful. We're not associated with them in any way, but honestly, and they do this for more than just the Oscars. For any award show that you're interested in, go check them out. See if they've made something, because they do a really great job. And I've been loving their ballots year after year. It's super helpful, super clean to put together, and it really helps keep us organized. The second thing I want to talk about, at work, maybe the intro is slightly connected to this, but at work, I was talking to my coworker about how you and I had talked about our top 10 movies of last year, and he was saying that it's impossible to make a top 10 movie because, one, you haven't seen every movie, and two, it's just your opinion. And I was like, yeah. It is our opinion.
That's the point.
And
our top 10 favorite movies.
That kind of hit me different this year in looking at the Oscars. When a movie wins Best Picture, that does not make it objectively the best picture of the year.
Yeah.
The Academy is a group of people. They've put together nominations and they voted. And subjectively to this group of people, this is what they've picked. This is like their opinion.
Yep.
And not everyone on the Academy will agree with every single choice, but they've put it to a vote.
Mm-hmm.
So every year when nominations come out for different awards, there's always this talk of snubs, right? Mm-hmm. And I kind of don't like that so much anymore because it puts more of a objectivity to it, more than this is what this group of people thinks. So yeah. We're not going to be talking about snubs here a lot. It may come up. But what we're going to do as we go through the categories is we're going to talk about which movie in that category we think is going to win based on how we assume yeah. they're going to vote. We're going to say which one we would pick if yeah. if we were choosing. And then instead of saying, you know, calling out a snub or anything, we're saying if there was six options presented, this is what I would put in for the sixth one. And we won't do that for every single category, but we'll do it for
yeah.
some of them. And that's how we're going forward. And again, with the Golden Knight, we've got a nice ballot here. And that's the ballot that we're going to be working through as we go category by category. We're going to start at the bottom and work our way up. Ready to go?
Yes.
All right. We'll start off with the fun one here. We have best visual effects.
Okay, I see.
With the nominees being The Creator, Godzilla Minus One,
obviously,
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3,
mm-hmm.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1,
yep.
and Napoleon.
Yep.
What are you thinking here?
Well, what do I think is going to win? I think The Creator is going to win.
I also think that The Creator is going to win.
Yeah. However, sometimes it won't line up with what I want. And what I want to win is obviously Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That would be so awesome. First of all, it's the first Oscar nomination in the history of the franchise.
Yeah.
And if it was the first Oscar win, like, this is the first time Godzilla's ever won an Oscar. That would be so sweet.
Yeah.
But we've already got the first time it's ever been nominated, so we've already broken a record, but that would be sweet.
Very cool that it got nominated, and I do like the effects.
Yeah.
I picked The Creator as my prediction, and if I was picking best visual effects, I would also pick The Creator. And that was kind of something that even just walking out of the movie when I watched it, I was like, yeah, this is it.
Oh, it looks amazing. It looks spectacular.
Yeah. Very, very good looking movie.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have a six one to add.
I don't have any.
Kind of The Creator.
John Wick, maybe? I don't know.
Alright. Moving on.
We got Best Sound. First of all, The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest. What do you got?
So originally I thought this was Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
Had it
mm-hmm.
locked in. You know, as soon as I got the ballot, highlighted that sucker.
Yes.
And then I saw The Zone of Interest.
Yes.
And I went, okay, so this is winning. And again, I have another one where this is my prediction and this is my pick. The sound in Zone of Interest is crazy good.
Yeah.
It blew my mind.
So
that's my pick.
I haven't seen The Zone of Interest, but I watched, because I missed it in theaters and I'm still so upset about it. But anyway, I watched the video that like the Oscars, the Academy put out
yeah.
of like their best sound, all the things. And that was like, just like, it was like, I don't know, maybe a minute long clip that they were talking over, and I'm like, this is amazing. I need to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Not just the sound, just everything about it. I'm like, this seems like a movie that I would love so much, so I want to watch it.
Yeah.
But I haven't yet, so that's great.
The crazy thing is just, because it's the farm right in front of, or not the farm, like the house right in front of Auschwitz.
Yeah.
And you hear like the train, or like machine running, or like gunshots and screaming just in the background for like most of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch like no one react to it, but it sounds like it's right there.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's just one element of it, but very good sounding movie.
I would add a sixth one though.
Sure.
The Holdovers, I think it deserved to be on here.
And, yeah.
I would love to add it, but I can't. But it is what it is. But just because of how they recorded with like the equipment of that decade.
Yeah.
To actually capture that sound and the way they mixed it in mono,
yeah,
like how it was back in the day, and they achieved that authenticity. I was just like, it's brilliant. But yeah, alas, great. It's gone.
Moving on. Best short, live action. Now this is where my emotions get. This happens every year
mm-hmm.
where I'm like, do I think this movie's gonna win? because it's very good, you know, and the Academy would view it as such. Yeah. Or do I just really like this one?
Right.
And I want it to win. I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Right.
If I was choosing...
Right.
The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going with. And look, I'm a sucker for Wes Anderson.
Me too.
I watched it and I was smiling the whole time.
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
But I think my prediction is going to be Red, White, and Blue.
Not bad. I'm still going with Henry Sugar because it's so good. It's unlike anything I've ever watched before, and I'm just like, come on. That's amazing.
And hey, if it does win, then a smile on my face.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, Red, White, and Blue just kind of... There's a halfway point through the story. I don't want to spoil it. Because I think everyone should watch it. I think it's really well made. But there's a point halfway through where all of a sudden the whole first half of the short is kind of put into a different context. And then the rest of the short happens. Mm-hmm. And man, the way that was well done. That when you watch the first time, the way you see the first half is one way. And then if you were to rewatch it, you would see it completely differently.
Yeah.
But both are like both interesting and valid. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that was just really, really, really good.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
You.
Do you want me to list the nominees?
I didn't list the nominees, did I?
No.
All right. Well, now that we've done talking about them, the nominees were The After, Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
Boom.
And I'll try to be better with that.
Okay. Okay. Best Short Animated, of course. We have Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform.
Pachyderm.
It's so blurry. I can't. What is it? What did you say?
Pachyderm.
Pachyderm. War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. Nice. What do you got?
This is one of my shortcomings. I watched most of the nominees on this list, but the only short that I've seen on here is 95 Senses. I could not find the other four for the life of me.
Oh yeah.
So I'm going with 95 Senses, I guess.
Well, here's the thing. Is I actually disrespect the medium of animation. So, of course, I haven't watched any of these.
Yeah.
that's my fault, I guess. Although, maybe it wouldn't have. The only one I would have been able to watch is maybe 95 Senses as well.
Yeah, based on title alone, what are you going with?
Based on title alone? Well, I'm interested to hear about John and Yoko. So, I'm going to go with War is Over because it's inspired by their music. I don't know who they are, but they sound like really nice people and I just have a conversation with them. It'd be good.
Nice.
Maybe that's a terrible thing to say. I don't know. I haven't seen it, so. But yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Moving on. To a category that, quite frankly, I think should be held in higher esteem. The best international feature film.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we have Io Capitano, Perfect Days, Society of the Snow, The Teacher's Lounge, and The Zone of Interest. And by golly, what a collection of movies we have here.
Mm-hmm.
I felt pretty happy walking out of Perfect Days. And just freaking... Freaking destroyed by the other four. That has not affected my pick. Society of the Snow, I have my issues with. But I'm not necessarily believing that it's undeserving of a nomination.
So, like... Triangle of Sadness.
Yeah. 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 Here again. And I promise that I do have picks that are different than my predictions in other categories. But I'm going with Zone of Interest.
Yeah. That's fair.
And if I was to add a sixth one, because I finally have something to add here. Look. Love that Perfect Days was nominated for Japan. Yeah. If we were to add in a second Japanese movie... I would actually throw in the movie Monster.
I needed to watch it.
I really, really quite enjoyed that one, and I thought that it was very well made.
Yeah. Well, I have a philosophy, and that is, if it isn't in English, I'm not watching it.
Yeah.
So, That's a joke, by the way. So
was the animation thing.
Yeah. I wanted to watch all of these, and this was like the one category that like, make sure you watch all of these, because this is the one I'm interested in. And I didn't watch any of them. Some of that was just timing, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm like really, really busy right now, so I just didn't have time. And they didn't ever play Perfect Days. If they played Perfect Days at our theater, I would have gone as soon as it... But they didn't. Yeah. However, that's the one I'm going to pick, because out of all of these, that's the one I wanted to watch the most.
Yeah.
And from the trailers, I've seen all the trailers, so that's at least something, I guess. It just seems like a movie that I'd be like... It just seems like the movie that I would love. Just like a quiet movie about... Like a quiet, profound beauty, you know? Like just... Yeah. That just nice,
and that's the movie right there.
And that's why I was
just find the beauty in the everyday, man.
Yeah,
yeah. Very little dialogue in that movie.
Yeah, like from the trailer, that's what I got, and I was like, that's what I want. So yeah, I will be sure to watch those though, just after the Oscars, I guess. Yeah. Oh, I guess the next one's me. Best makeup and hairstyling. We have Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Society of the Snow. Well, what do you have?
I was gonna bash Golda for a second for being on here, but I'll be nice and just say that I was gonna do it and not actually do it.
That's good.
Watching Society of the Snow, I could totally tell why it was nominated, but I gotta give this one to Poor Things.
Mm-hmm.
Pick and prediction again.
Yep.
You know what? I'll throw a sixth one in here. I'm going to throw in Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3.
Okay.
The work on Drax, on Mantis, and on the High Evolutionary. That's really impressive stuff. Especially because High Evolutionary has it so his face looks like a mask that's been stretched
For sure.
Behind. That's some good stuff.
Yeah. Also, I'm picking Poor Things. But I don't know what's wrong with me, but I wanted to add a sixth one to the international feature. I wanted to add Godzilla Minus One.
Sure, yeah, of course.
But I didn't. I forgot, I guess.
Yeah, it's okay. But you remembered now. That's the important thing.
I did.
Moving on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I would have added Guardians 3 as well. So, or Killers of the Flower Moon.
All right. Here we go.
This is the best one.
We're going to move on to Best Original Score.
Mm-hmm.
With the nominees American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things.
Yep.
Go for it.
Oh boy. Okay. Out of these ones, that's a really tough one. I think I'd pick Oppenheimer, but I feel like that's like the...
I think you're
good. You know?
I think you're good.
Okay. I just don't want to say like the popular vote, but I would pick Oppenheimer out of these. Both as what I think might have is a good chance of winning and what I want to win.
Yeah.
I would easily add in another one, though. And I think that the Academy would also have wanted to add this one in, and that's why they released an interview after they released the nominations and it wasn't on there. But Boy and the Heron, they released an interview with Joe Hisaishi talking about the music, and it's like brilliant. And like it definitely feels like the way of like, hey guys, you know we're not in charge of all of this, right? So here's this thing because we know that it's amazing. So here you go. So I'd put that in there, and then I would pick it if it was in there. But
All right, I got one for all three of these here.
I wonder what you're gonna add.
My prediction is Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I think it's safe, but I also think it's tried and true, you know?
It is amazing.
If I was picking, I would actually go with Poor Things.
A
strange and bizarre soundtrack, but just really fitting for the movie and very interesting. And like you said, it's no surprise that I'm throwing this on here, but if I was to put a sixth on here...
What's it going to be?
It would be Across the Spider-Verse by Daniel Pemberton.
Obviously.
I thought that the score... And the second one was better than the score in the first one.
Really?
Which did get nominated. So I was actually a little surprised when it didn't. But
Yeah, weird. Best original song. We have The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot. I'm Just Ken. Nice. From Barbie. It Never Went Away from American Symphony. And apologies if this is an incorrect pronunciation, but Wazaz from A Song for My People. Well, no, that's not what it, that's the translation. From Killers of the Flower Moon. And What Was I Made For from Barbie. I'm curious to know your opinions.
All right. My prediction is What Was I Made For.
Okay.
Again, safe answer, but it also feels tried and true. If I was picking, I'd do I'm Just Ken. That song's a banger, dude.
It's so good.
And honestly, if I was to call any category in the Oscars a snub this year, it would be this one. Because if I were to add a sixth one, I'm scared. For the reason that he would get to perform it at the Oscars, I would put in Peaches from the Super Mario Brothers movie.
I totally forgot about that song. That's amazing. I wish they did. That sucks. Anyway, yeah, I would pick for both what I think is, or what I hope to win and what has a good chance of winning, or whatever you want to say. What Was I Made For from Barbie? I think that's, yeah, that's easily my favorite song from the movie, because it's just like, wow, you want me to cry now? Okay, sounds good. But also, I'm Just Ken is just so good, so I'd also be happy with that one. Yeah, and I'm Just Peaches, I guess, would be a good addition. Yep.
Yeah.
I want to see him do it on stage.
All right. Moving on to Best Production Design.
Mm-hmm.
Got some bangers here. We got Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. This is where I think it starts getting a little difficult.
This is really difficult
for me. I agree. What did you pick?
It's tough, because I'm like, especially when we have movies that are like, let's recreate like a period of time. And like, wow, even if I thought Napoleon was like kind of mid in the end, it looked great.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pick Barbie. I also think Poor Things could win. Poor Things, I think, is their pick, and Barbie's my pick, just because everything feels plastic and amazing that way.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like they're just... Like, for example...
They robbed California of all their pink paint.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, there's a shot of the lifeguard or whatever who holds up the binoculars, and it's just, like, the plastic binoculars. Yeah. I'm like, I love it.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Yeah.
I'm also... My prediction will be Poor Things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oppenheimer's a really good-looking one.
Yeah.
That might be my pick. Especially just with Los Alamos.
Oh, it looks amazing.
And the tower that they built for the Trinity test.
Yep.
Looks good. Also, Killers of the Flower Moon is really...
All these movies look really good. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
This is
one where it's like 5 for 5. Yeah, you deserve to be on here.
Yeah. I did forget one, but I would add Asteroid City.
That's a great...
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Is it my turn? Oh, sorry. Film editing. Best film editing. Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Let's hear it.
Again, another 5 for 5. This is kind of like going through and being like, gosh, I can see why you're all here, and it's all for kind of slightly different reasons. So, my prediction... It's gonna be for Killers of the Flower Moon.
Okay.
I was just really impressed with the fact this is the longest movie I've seen in a long time. It is full 3.5 hours. And walking out of this, it didn't feel it. Right? Walking out of Oppenheimer, I love Oppenheimer, great movie, but you walk out and you're like, 3 hours passed. For me, walking out of Killers of the Flower Moon didn't feel like 3.5 hours had passed. It was just really well paced and edited.
It was.
So that's my prediction.
All right.
And you know what? I'll pick a different one for my pick. I'm going to put Anatomy of a Fall. Thought that the editing in that movie was very good.
Yeah.
And I don't think I have one to add.
Yeah. I would also say Killers of the Flower Moon for what I think they might pick. And honestly... I wanted to say holdovers because, again, they've edited it like a 70s movie. And it doesn't have the feeling of, like, you know, when Hollywood tries to, like, make, like, hey, look, it's, like, this thing shot on film. I'm like, yeah, you just put a filter over it. Like, it doesn't feel fake. It feels authentic. And that's why I think it's, like, incredible.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stick with Killers of the Flower Moon for both choices. However, I am going to add Asteroid City again for film editing. I just love Asteroid. I love Wes Anderson's, like, style of everything. So, yes. Yeah. There you go.
Looking at best documentary short.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Got the ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, The Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and Nainai and Waipo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, I think information-based media is just the worst, so I didn't watch any documentaries. I'm just kidding, but I didn't watch any. I don't know when the last time I watched a documentary was, honestly. It's been a while. So I like The Island in Between is my favorite title, so I'm picking it.
It's not a bad one. That one's about the island that belongs to Taiwan. That's the closest to mainland China.
Oh, cool.
And the tension between them.
That sounds interesting.
And one guy, he's talking about how he feels torn between... at one point he puts down three passports because he's lived in America for some time too. So he has a Chinese passport, a Taiwanese passport, and an American passport. And he's kind of torn between those three identities. You know, do I just kind of bite the bullet and say that I'm a Chinese? Do I believe that I'm a Taiwanese? And kind of recognize it as its own country, or do I get out of this conflict and just be an American?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I actually kind of want to watch it.
It's on YouTube.
Okay, sounds good. I might.
I would also recommend that you watch on Disney Plus my pick and my prediction, The Last Repair Shop.
I did see that one on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know that was a documentary, though, until I saw the nominations.
I just really liked how it was put together. I liked, I'm also like a big fan of music, and I was in band in school, and kind of having that experience shown on screen and talked about, I just thought everything about it was really well done.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going with.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right. Best documentary feature. We have Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days in Manipal?
Mariupol.
Mariupol. So, like, my picture is, like, so blurry, so I thought that was an N.
I can see that.
What do you got?
Okay, so this is the second area of my shortcomings.
Okay.
I've only seen Bobby Wine, The People's President.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, I don't think it's going to win. Okay. I had hoped to watch these before this episode, but alas, I did not. I was going to watch all four of these last night. I watched Dune instead, because we're going to go watch Dune Part 2 after this is done. Based on my knowledge of the other ones, I'm going to predict 20 Days in Mariupol.
Okay.
It's about the first 20 days in this city in Ukraine as the Russians are invading, like the war that's still going on. And I think that has a lot of potential to be very captivating and very good.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going with. I'm also going to throw in additions here. If I was to add a sixth one, if we're looking at other movies that were nominated, I would actually put American Symphony in here. I thought that was a really well-made documentary, and then it wasn't in this category. But to put one that was not nominated at all for anything, I would put in Squaring the Circle, The Story of Hypnosis. I watched that this year, thought it was incredible, and then have heard nothing about it from anyone else since. So, that's what I would add.
Well, I like The Eternal Memory. That's a cool title, so I'm going with that one.
Also potential there. Next up, another tricky one. Best costume design. We got Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Wow.
Yeah.
What are you going with?
I'm going with Poor Things.
Pick and prediction or just prediction?
Both. Pick and prediction.
I'm going to go with Barbie.
That's fair.
For both as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
We'll find out on the weekend, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
But, and even the other three that we didn't talk about. This is a solid list.
Yeah, it's a good choices. Good choices.
Again, Napoleon isn't great as a movie, but the costumes.
But it still looks great.
The costumes weren't at fault there.
No, yeah. Okay. Best cinematography. We got, apologies for pronunciation, El Conde, or whatever. I'm not sure how to say it. That's okay, though. Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Well, what do you have for me?
My pick and my prediction.
Yes.
Are going to Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to add one, I'll follow your train. Asteroid City.
I would also add Asteroid City.
But if we're keeping Asteroid City out of these nominations, I would actually throw in All of Us Strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that movie was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, for my pick, I'm going to also go Oppenheimer. Pick and prediction. It's just incredible.
Just
incredible. Great. Yeah.
Would you add any?
Yeah, to add Asteroid City.
Yeah.
Easily.
Looking next at Best Actor. We got Bradley Cooper from Maestro, Coleman Domingo from Rustin, Paul Giamatti from The Holdovers.
Nice.
Cillian Murphy from Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. My prediction, look, it's the safest prediction of the night, I think, with Cillian Murphy from Oppenheimer. But also, I would be very surprised if he didn't win. My pick, and look, I recognize my bias. That's why I didn't make it my prediction. Bradley Cooper is Maestro. Bradley's my boy. I got, you know.
That's true.
That's just who I would pick.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I were to add anyone, I would actually add in Barry Keoghan from Saltburn. I don't think he would win, but I think that a nomination would have been very nice for that role.
Yeah. Well, my pick and
prediction
are the same as yours. Although I would add in Morgan Freeman from A Good Person.
Solid.
Although, would he be supporting?
Maybe.
He's the lead actor in the movie. A supporting character.
So supporting?
Maybe. Well, I'll add him for the supporting actor.
So, speaking of which, you want to take us there?
So since we're talking about that, might as well, you know, keep on that train. Best supporting actor, we have Sterling K. Brown from American Fiction, Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling, Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo, Poor Things. What are your guesses?
Pick and prediction here. Robert Downey Jr. from Oppenheimer. Honestly, I think this one is his to lose. Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah. I'm doing the same thing. And also, I would add in Morgan Freeman from A Good Person. Yeah.
He's definitely in one of those, too.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Best Actress. We got Annette Bening from Naiad. Lily Gladstone from Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Hüller from Anatomy of a Fall. Carey Mulligan from Maestro. And Emma Stone in Poor Things.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen here?
Well, my prediction. Is prediction the one that we're like, what is the Oscars? Yeah. Okay. Is Emma Stone from Poor Things. My pick, though. I have a question for you. Do you know what Crash Course is? Like Crash Course videos?
Yeah.
Like the ones that they talk about information like really fast?
Yeah.
Did you know that Lily Gladstone like worked for them and she did those videos?
Nice.
And we watched them in class and I was like, what the heck? That's you. Anyway, my pick is Lily Gladstone. It was so weird seeing her just smile and talk super fast all the time. Well, that's unnatural. Yeah. But yeah, that's my pick. And who would I add in? Florence Pugh from A Good Person.
Nice.
Because, yeah.
I definitely believe that this is a race between Lily Gladstone and Emma Stone.
Mm-hmm.
One of those two is walking with that Oscar.
Yep.
And I do believe that it is Emma Stone.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lily Gladstone did a great job.
Yep.
And if Poor Things didn't exist, I think she would take it away by far. Like, yeah. I think it would be hers to lose. But I think that Emma Stone's performance was just that much more impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, also to give credit where it's due, I think Emma Stone had more to do in Poor Things. You know, not that Lily Gladstone is a background character or anything, but what was asked of Emma Stone was more, and then she pulled it off, and I think that's what I found.
I don't know if I would say if it was more, like, if you're saying, like, well, she put more effort into it. Like, I think she had
not
definitely more energy.
Just, yeah, what
it that, was a very different...
What that character is, I don't think it's a matter of effort. Yeah, it's just that there was more to do.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
I think it's Emma Stone. That's my pick and prediction. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you add anybody?
I think it's Emma's to take, so yeah. So no, I will not be adding anyone.
Okay, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to offend you, but...
I said yes and then didn't add someone, so I had
to... I know, I'm just joking. Best Supporting Actress, we have Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple, America Ferrera from Barbie, not from Superstore, to be confused. Anyway, Jodie Foster from Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph. Oh, yeah, I know who that is, from The Holdovers. I was like, who's this person?
I'll tell you who it is. It's the winner.
That's also my pick, yeah.
Yeah, pick and prediction.
Yeah, same.
I think she did a great job.
Yeah.
And she's going to take on that Oscar.
Yeah, for sure. And I would add in Morgan Freeman from... yeah, same.
That was a good joke. I liked it.
Thank you.
Ready to move on.
Yeah.
All right, going to Best Animated Feature.
Mm-hmm.
With nominations, The Boy and the Heron,
mm-hmm.
Elemental,
mm-hmm.
Nimona,
mm-hmm.
Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Nice. Good choices.
I'm going to leave that in too.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would add in Suzume, because it's amazing. So
I would add in TMNT Mutant Mayhem.
That was also really good. Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, my pick and prediction is Robot Dreams. Just kidding. The Boy and the Heron. I know it's down to two of these, and none of the others are like, yeah, good job being nominated and all, but like, it's down to two, and I honestly have no idea what's going to win. Because if you're like, we got the world of Miyazaki, right? He could easily take the Oscar. Yeah. He's done it before. But we also have Spider-Verse. That could easily take the Oscar. It's done it before. So I'm like, I don't know. But out of the two of them, I just appreciated Boy and the Heron more as a movie. Because I think Spider-Verse just wasn't good. That's a joke. They're both incredible. But yeah, I'm going Boy and the Heron.
And if you can tell from what we talked about them in the Best Original Score category... I'm going to Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Yeah. Pick and prediction. But I do agree that if Spider-Man doesn't win, it is going to Boy and the Heron.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. This one's interesting, too, because I feel like it's been very 50-50 across different awards. Where, like, Boy and the Heron's won this one, Spider-Man's won this one, back and forth.
Oh, yeah, amongst the other award shows. I thought you meant, like, the nominations. Like, what are you talking about?
Even going in, it's not like, well, Spider-Verse has won more, so it's going to... It's 50-50.
Yeah. And I think they're both incredible, so I'm excited to see what it is. Best original screenplay: Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May December, and Past Lives. What do you have for me today?
For you today, I present
yes,
Anatomy of a Fall.
Intriguing.
As my prediction. And you know what? Let's bring bias back into it. Past Lives is my pick.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking love that movie. But I do think that Anatomy of a Fall has more potential of bringing it home.
Possibly. Would you add anything? No?
Leave it? I don't think so.
No.
I also don't feel like I pay enough attention to be like, oh, that screenplay is one that...
Well, it's just like the writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I would pick or predict Past Lives.
Okay.
I'm really hoping that we get a Past Lives situation, like Everything Everywhere All at Once, but we'll see. Oh, what the heck? Best original score. If I would add into something, I'd add in Past Lives. I think that that should have won, actually, but anyway, I just remember that. I didn't bring it up, but yeah, that's what I think is the best of the year, even though I didn't say that in our other episode. But that's okay, because I rolled it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And yeah, maybe I'll stick with that for...
Your pick and
prediction. And prediction.
Yeah.
And if I would add anything, I would also add in Asteroid City.
Nice.
And then I would give it to that, but it's not there, so it's all good.
Well, that was original screenplay. Let's move on to best adapted screenplay. Ooh.
This is when I find out that Asteroid City was actually an adapted screenplay and made a mistake.
You can do the more favorite thing you want. Nominations here: American Fiction, Barbie. Oppenheimer,
mm-hmm.
Poor Things,
mm-hmm.
and The Zone of Interest.
Mm-hmm. I did not know. Interesting.
What do you have for me today?
Well, today, I will say that I think my pick and prediction is Oppenheimer.
Nice.
Because it's amazing, and I don't think further explanation is required. I feel like Barbie's weird being adapted screenplay. I'm like, yeah, I guess it's a toy, but like...
Yeah, because it's based off of a Mattel toy.
But like, the stories...
Remember when the story of Barbie was built around, like, the struggle between feminism and the patriarchy?
Yeah, it's adapted.
Yeah. That's because they go to the real world, and they're adapting that.
Sure.
It's definitely not.
No.
My pick and prediction here. I'm actually going with Poor Things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe I'll lose to Oppenheimer, but that's just what I'm feeling.
That's all good.
Yeah, maybe Zone of Interest if they talked more, but... No,
screenplay is not just dialogue, my man.
That sounded like I was dissing Zone of Interest, by the way.
I thought you were just making a joke.
I was making
a joke. Okay, good.
All right. Second last one here.
Oh, yeah. Is this mine?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Best director. And this is like one of the most difficult ones for me. Mm-hmm. You have Anatomy of a Fall, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. I don't know. Did you want me to say the director's names? Or is that good enough?
Up to you. If you want to redo it or just keep it.
I'll just leave it. It's fine. Okay. Yeah, what do you got?
I am going with Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer.
Pick and prediction?
Pick and prediction. Yeah.
Me too.
We'll talk about this more in a minute when we get to Best Picture, but I have had a mental journey going through these movies. And I came to a place where I decided that the director, I think, will be Christopher Nolan. And look, I've been a fan of his since, like, 2012. So it feels exciting that I can pick him as a prediction and also be proud that I picked him and also genuinely think that he's going to win.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
You wouldn't add anybody then?
You know what? Just to get it on there, let's do a Celine song for Past Lives.
Okay, no. Yeah, that's fair. I'd maybe put
Wes Anderson as well. For Asteroid City. That's crazy. We didn't know I like Asteroid City.
It's a great movie.
It is. All right. Alrighty. The final one.
This has been my torture since they announced it. All right, Best Picture. We have American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking at this list, I also think we should kind of just look at each movie and talk about them, because it's a special award, Best Picture.
Yeah, for sure.
Looking at all of these, there's not one on here that I'm like, oh, I don't know, man. I have movies on here that I'm very sure are not going to win,
mm-hmm.
but I'm happy that they were nominated.
Yeah.
There's not a situation on here like A Triangle of Sadness last year where I'm like, what
is going on? What was that? Yeah.
These are 10 very good movies.
Yeah.
Would you mind if we went through them?
I would not mind. I would love that.
All right. Looking at American Fiction,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was a very interesting story. I thought the performances were really well done.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the specific look on race and racism and kind of what's expected when you hear the word black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does that mean? And it creates an image in your head. And there are people who are kind of fed up with this. And watching Jeffrey Wright's character, like, make a joke out of it, but then it turns out to be, like, the most successful thing of his career was really interesting. And there's a lot of conversations that people have about that kind of concept.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you write a book, you know, using quote-unquote black language, you know, to make a book black,
mm-hmm.
you know, what does that mean? And is it racist, or is it a look into a culture?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really good. That being said, I think that the end of the movie didn't quite stick the landing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they played a joke, and there's a lot of jokes in this movie, and it's really funny at times, but to end it on that kind of note, I was like, oh, I'm not sure that was the right move. But yeah. All in all, a pretty impressive movie.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts?
No, I think you summed it up beautifully. You know, what can I add to something so profound?
Anatomy of a Fall.
Oh, great music, good music. But I guess it's not about the music. so weird. But it was the same composer of another movie that came out last year, I guess, that I was like, wow, you kind of dropped the ball on that one. Which was Laura Cartman, I think was her name.
Oh yeah,
who did
The Marvels.
The Marvels. Well, she also did Miss Marvel, and I was like, that score is great in Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what happened in The Marvels? And then like, oh yeah, she gets nominated for an Oscar, don't worry, in the other one. So yeah. it kind of reminded me of
when we watched She Said.
Yeah.
Andor guy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, why can't, it doesn't matter. But yeah, the guy who did Andor, we're like, wow, that's amazing. I'm like, oh, so you were paying attention to this other one, right? Yeah. There we go.
Anatomy of a Fall.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I picked it for screenplay.
Yep.
Man, this movie takes you on a journey. And I thought the use of language here was really interesting, too. Because they mostly speak French.
Mm-hmm.
But Sandra Hüller, who plays the main character, is not originally French-speaking. So she speaks a lot of English.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a point of conflict in the movie. Where it's like, can you not just commit to learning French? Like, this is what we speak, and stop, like, not doing it. And this is one of the better courtroom dramas that I've seen, too. And every piece of evidence that gets presented throughout the movie
mm-hmm.
just feels more and more upsetting. And also, like, really makes you think about whether or not she killed her husband. And I think by the time you get to the end, even though they don't definitively answer, the court comes to a conclusion.
Yeah.
But they never, you know, there's never a flashback when you see what happened. Oh, she did or didn't do it. So you're left to decide what you think on your own.
Yeah, it's a very good use of, like, withholding information mm-hmm. from the audience. to create a message and a story that way, rather than just be like, oh yeah, here you go, because you guys want like full closure, yeah. right? You want a conclusion to everything, so here you go. There's a lot of trust put in the audience, mm-hmm. you know?
I thought the performances are really good in this one too, especially the kid that plays their son did a really good job, and he's blind in the movie. I'm not sure if he's blind in real life.
I don't know.
But working around that and his performance alone was just really, really well done. Especially for a child. You can just list off movies with bad child performances.
I just watched The Last Airbender live action. It's just full of them.
but nailed it in this one. The only time I would say not to watch this movie is if you and your significant other are like in a bit of a bad place, because it's not going to make you feel better about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, great pick there.
Yeah. There you go. For sure.
Barbie. Do you have thoughts about Barbie? I'll let you take the reins for a minute here.
Barbie. This was one where maybe this is the most I've been surprised by a movie from last year, because you're like, oh, it's just the Barbie movie, right? It's going to be funny. It looks really funny. It's a good comedy. And it was, absolutely. And then they're just like, oh yeah, this is actually like a really heartfelt story, by the way. And there's actually like real emotion. And it put into this, and like especially the ending, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But the thing I loved about Barbie, and this is not being like, oh, I hate woke things, you know? But I feel like, because a lot of people were mad at Barbie, because like, oh my gosh, it's so woke. It's the wokest thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, this actually feels like kind of the opposite of woke. Am I wrong in thinking that? But it doesn't, like, I've never felt like, because I talked to my cousins, and they're like, I just really hated the way that it, like, disrespected men, and I, like, felt bad about that. And I'm like, I didn't really feel that. Like, I felt like it did, but then it was also like, hey, look how bad some men treat women. And then look how many women don't treat men well. And look at how we're all just treating each other like crap and creating this place ourselves, and we can do better. And I'm like, I really appreciated that messagery. So
yeah.
And like, well told too, and hilarious. What a
very
funny movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that there was an interesting play with feminism and the patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a few, perhaps a little more less direct comments.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel like were very important, but are maybe not talked about enough. Like when they go to Barbie Land, and before they realize that it's been taken over, I can't remember if it's America Ferrera or her daughter who's like, where do the Kens live? Where do they sleep? And Barbie's like, I don't know. So it's heavily implied that like they don't have houses and have nowhere to sleep. So they probably just sleep on the beach every night with like no bed or blanket or anything.
Yeah.
And so like, that's not good. But then they come in with the patriarchy and just basically Uno reverse it. Yeah. So it's the exact opposite. And it's like the guys have everything and the girls have nothing. And then at the end of the movie, they flip it back. And I think that some people think, okay, it's done there. You know, they got it back to feminism. Thumbs up. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I think you're totally missing the part where Barbie looks at it and says, I can't be here because this way of living is like so wrong. And I can't like... One, the artificiality of the world, and two, just like the systems in place are just not right, and I need to go to the real world where I can try and do something to like make effective change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
I think it absolutely deserves the nomination.
Yes.
Yeah.
But maybe not a win.
No, I don't think it's going to win, but I'm happy to see it on the list.
Yes. The Holdovers. Hey, you take this one, man.
The Holdovers. Oh, well, we talked about it. I think, like, the story is, like, touching. It's beautiful and everything. It's incredibly well-written, well-executed, well-acted. Especially the kid. This is, like, his first acting credit. And it's like, what the heck? Okay, well, someone's going to be used up by Hollywood, so my goodness. But I think it's just, like, the filmmaking of it is part of the reason why I love it so much. It's just, like, a pure appreciation for, like... just the art of it, I guess, and like on terms of like the filmmakers, like their appreciation for that time period and like the history of cinema, and to be able to like, again, it's so authentic, even though it's a recreation of another time. but it's brilliant. Yeah, but I mean, like, the music is so good in it. It's beautiful. And yeah, just the story, man. It's touching. You laugh, right? You cry. You cry. And at the end of the day, you walk out with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful movie.
Very wholesome.
Yeah.
And, I don't know why I didn't necessarily think about this going in, but they touch on, like, the topic of, like, loneliness really well. And, like, it's three people who are left alone at this school over Christmas, and what are you going to do about it type of thing. And it's not in, oh, you're sad and lonely, boo-hoo, you know, type of thing, but, you know, it's...
They're actually, like, trying to do something with it.
And, look, Divine Joy Randolph.
Yeah.
Especially her character having lost her son. Son, right?
Yeah, her son.
Okay. And how that manifests, and, like, she talks about it earlier in the movie, and it's kind of like, oh, that's, what a bummer. Like, this is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
And then it's not until they go to the party and she really, like, realizes, like, in some extent, how much she misses him, because she can't have a family Christmas anymore and all this and that. And then she really breaks down, and it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I also thought the plot point of the main character, whose name I don't remember, and I don't even know the actor's name, the kid. And kind of how he's dealing with his dad and how that evolves throughout the movie. That was very good.
Oh, absolutely. It was just a well-executed movie.
Will this win? I'm going to give a nice maybe.
I would be happy if it did.
Yes.
I'd also be happy if other stuff on this list won, too. But, like, if this won, I'd be like, yeah, there we go. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. A definitive maybe so.
Killers of the Flower Moon felt like a daunting task walking in. Mostly because of the runtime.
Yeah.
And even knowing that it's like a heavier subject matter, which I think they handled that really well. You're not watching all these people die and just feeling like gross inside, but they also don't, you know, you feel the weight of what happened without feeling sick to your stomach with, like, I don't know, they could have made it gorier, right?
Well, he's Scorsese, right?
Yeah.
So it's typical of Scorsese violence where it's like short bursts, but very realistic.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like, boom, look at the blood everywhere. Oh my gosh. It's like, guy gets shot in the head. Yes, gross, but it's very quick and it's very, oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's shocking, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I was very well pleased with how much happens off camera and how little they spoon feed a lot of things to you. I'm thinking of when a Lily Gladstone's sister gets killed and you see the body after. And you see when they walk to the location where she's going to die, but they don't, like, break down every detail and, like, oh, just in case you missed it, here's how she died and all this and that. And I'm also thinking of when they reveal... Should I spoil it? It's super obvious. But when they reveal that Leonardo DiCaprio's been doing a lot of these killings, the way that they reveal it is just very matter of fact. It's like, you're probably thinking about this already. So we're just kind of tilting the camera up and saying, yeah, it's him. And it's not this big dun-dun-dun moment or like a big twist. It's just kind of like, we're choosing to reveal this to you now.
Yeah.
So that...
It feels more so of like, you're like, you hope he's not.
Yeah.
You know he is, but you're like, come on. He has to be nice though, right?
Yeah.
And then it's not like, oh my gosh, it's him. It's more of like
not great.
It's him.
I knew also, Robert De Niro spanking Leonardo DiCaprio in a bank vault is one of the funniest things.
It's the best scene in the movie.
Yeah, it's when, as every step that gets closer to that, you're like, am I correct in assuming what's about to happen here? yeah, okay. They're going for it. All right, wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I throw down another maybe.
Yeah. I'd also be happy if it won, too. All right, what about Maestro? Maestro, Maestro. With Bradley Cooper.
I mentioned earlier, that I was in band when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, I wasn't part of a big formal orchestra, but I did have an understanding of, like, the language of the conductor's baton. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way that they move their hands when they're conducting you really tells you a lot when you're playing an instrument for them. And it's very cool how that relationship works. Mm-hmm. It's something I miss a little bit about being in band. But watching Bradley Cooper orchestrate in this movie is so beautiful.
It is.
And, like, it's so abundantly clear to me that he studied this and figured out, like, what it looked like, mm-hmm. and what needed to be done. It feels like he's orchestrating, especially as someone who's yeah. had that. Again, not to this level of prestige, but he's doing it. Like, he's orchestrating, and he's not just waving his hands around big and small, but the way that he's, like, pointing and motioning towards specific groups and specific people felt so real. This is Bradley Cooper's second movie that he's directed.
Yep.
And watching, knowing that, like, he learned how to play the guitar and got himself, like, singing lessons for A Star Is Born, awesome. Looking at the commitment, like, the same amount of commitment that he put into being a conductor, incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And the story around the movie, too, really enjoyed, but it was far and above that attention to detail with the conducting that just wowed me.
Yeah. I love the first 40 minutes of this movie are my favorite.
Yeah.
When it's black and white.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire movie, the cinematography is beautiful. The cinematography is beautiful.
It is.
But especially during those first 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It's so amazing looking. Oh my gosh. Yeah, just.
Yeah, and what a movie. The accents that they have, it doesn't feel corny. They do a good job, and it doesn't feel like, oh, we're just putting an accent in to make it more interesting. Yeah. Now, all that being said, unfortunately, do I think this is going to win?
I don't.
I do not believe so.
No.
But I am happy that it was nominated.
Oh, absolutely. It deserves a nomination for sure.
Yeah.
How about Oppenheimer, though?
Take it away.
Oppenheimer. A lot of people say this is Christopher Nolan's best movie. I've heard that quite a bit. I don't know if I would agree, but I don't necessarily disagree either. You know what I'm saying?
In saying that it's not his best, you're not saying that it's bad.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to be mad about anyone saying that. I'm not going to be like, well, I have an art. Here's why it's not his best movie. I have no argument for that. It's just a matter of personal preference. But this movie is spectacular. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've talked about it a lot throughout this episode. We talked about the sound and the set design, the production design, whatever, the music.
Seriously, the only negative opinion that I've seen towards this movie was the VFX artist react from Corridor Crew when they talked about, and that just made me mad.
Oh my gosh.
Everything that they said felt just, I was like, I don't know how to explain that. I just fundamentally disagree with every word that's coming out of your mouth right now.
Yeah.
I think that the Trinity Test bomb explosion is really good.
Yeah.
And just how silent it is in that scene, mm-hmm. too. And then they get hit with the boom of the sound afterwards. Oh, yeah. And Cillian Murphy, he's been really great in, especially the Christopher Nolan movies that he's been mm-hmm. in. You know, every time he comes on, you're like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Familiar face, you know you're getting a good performance.
Yeah, for sure.
Even when it's small, mm-hmm. he's doing a good job. I'm super happy that they went, all right, look, you've been in enough of these. Honestly, you're like one of the most recognizable faces from Christopher Nolan movies. How about you take the lead role?
Yeah.
Awesome. Good for you.
That was perfect.
Deserved. The score is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in like the last 20 minutes. When it's building up and like, it's like a trial. Like, how are you going to make that exciting? And then as they're yelling questions back and forth and arguing, and the music is swelling, and you hear the dum, 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 like the foot stamping as well. And you're like, I don't know why, but I'm feeling this. Like, this is
amazing.
Thrilling.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's part of the way he like structures the story as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
transcending time, not just like, it's not a linear story, right? Yeah. Like we're going back and forth. So as they're yelling and the music's going, they're saying stuff that you now have like further context for, because you've already seen something that happened before, or you see something that happens after. It's just, yeah, and it's all like coming together, and it's amazing.
Yeah, and for 3 hours of mostly just people talking, there's one explosion in the movie, right? Yeah. And that's the most action you get.
Yeah.
It's a lot of dialogue. And at no point are you, like, we talked 2 weeks ago in our movie theater episode. Well, the second time I watched Avatar, got to a point I went, I can go to sleep for a few minutes
here. Yeah.
At no point in Oppenheimer am I even considering, like, at what point could I take a nap? No, there's no point. No. Because it's all just exciting and captivating.
That's incredible.
Good.
Yeah, it's good.
Do you think it's taking home Best Picture?
I think it has a very good chance. So a definitive maybe. It has an absolute 100% chance of being possibly picked.
Here's my hardest take of the episode. I don't think it's going to win.
That's fair.
And I say this because Oppenheimer is the popular expected choice by far.
True, true.
And every year at the Oscars, it doesn't go to the one that's the popular pick.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes it goes to the most deserving one. Awesome.
Yeah,
sometimes I would prefer other ones.
Yeah.
But like even looking at last year, what was going to win? The Fablemans. That was the obvious pick. And then Everything Everywhere All at Once won. Now, I think we both agree that was an improvement.
Yes.
But, just looking at previous years, and I don't think that the one that, you know, the one that's going to win has ever been the one that's actually won.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying Oppenheimer is not winning. But a very great movie.
Yeah. You know what's another very great movie?
Past Lives.
Correct.
I literally have the poster up over there.
Oh, you did put it up. Okay, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I'm surprised. You know what? We have a very, like, typical story. Not that the entire movie's typical. I'm just going to say one aspect of it is, like, a typical thing that you'd see. Is you have these, like, people who are, like, romantically involved at one point, years later, whatever. They get back together. You have... And they even say it in the movie, right? Where he's like, yeah, these people are together, or want to be together, maybe. But the girl's together with another guy, or vice versa, or whatever. But in this movie, the girl's with married.
Love triangle.
Yeah, so you got a love triangle. And now this guy's going to be, like, grumpy, because, like, oh, you're attracted to this other man right now. Is that what's happening? And then all upset about it. And then not. He's just, like, a super understanding person. Like, yeah, I get the situation. I get it. I'm like, that's amazing. And I showed it to my sister. But she, because we watch her relationship with the other guy, right, in Korea, in Seoul, and then she moves away to America, blah, 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 stuff happens, and then she rents out this, like, room in the house, right, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the guy shows up, like, the American, right, and my sister goes, I hate him already. And then he's talking with her. As they're in bed later in the movie, and I'm talking about how he, like, doesn't believe that she actually likes him. Like, he does, but then he keeps, like, questioning if that's real or not.
Yeah.
And then keeps, like, has a constant state of doubt, and he's like, you're everything to me, and I'm like, how could I be everything to you? And then it's, like, this super sincere conversation, and then Hash is like, oh, dang it, I'm sorry. I feel bad now. And I'm like, yeah. It was just such a well-written movie. And... This isn't nominated for Best Cinematography, was it?
No.
Okay, I would add that one for Cinematography. This movie's, like, one of the most beautiful movies I've, like, ever looked at. It's... Oh, my gosh. It's just... Ugh.
What, it's
so good.
What blew me away with this movie is the moments where the two of them are just sitting there, not talking,
mm-hmm.
kind of looking at each other, and... There's a whole, like, you know how they say, like, a picture is 1,000 words? There's 10,000 words being spoken here without opening your mouth.
Yeah.
And, man, it blows me away. And that's really what, like, took this over the edge.
Yep.
It's because it's not like, look, I'm really struggling with how to feel right now, and, you know, because you're back and I'm really enjoying hanging out. and spend time together, and I'm not sure what this means for the future. I know you're only here for a short time. Yada, yada, yada. They just sit down in front of the carousel and kind of look at each other. But you get all of that from both sides, just from their performances and just complete silence. And you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
How are you pulling this off so well?
It's a masterpiece.
And gosh darn, when at the end, when she goes to walk into his Uber to go back to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they're just walking and it's silent, but you hear everything. You know what's going on in both of them. And he gets in the cab at the end and he goes, hey, and it flashes back to in Korea when they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he said goodbye to her the last time he saw her in person. And that broke me.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there sniffling. And of course, she's sniffling on screen too and crying. Yeah. And
maybe add this one in for film editing. Because that flashback is... They use maximum emotion by cutting all sound when they flashback. I love it when Hideaki Anno does that so much too in his stuff, where he'll like flash to something, and like even though this one shot, this current shot has sound like ambiance, like we can hear the street, we can see cars passing down. We flash back to another scene and it's complete silence, and then back to it, and then the background sounds back, and it's like that just is so effective in the way they used it here.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Could this win Best Picture?
Yes.
I'm throwing down a maybe.
An absolute 100% certainty of maybe winning.
Yes. Two more to go.
Yeah.
Poor Things. What a weird, great movie.
Willem Dafoe just likes weird movies, apparently.
Yeah.
Just thinking of The Lighthouse. My goodness.
Look, I'll just say, I don't feel necessarily qualified to speak on, like, the themes of, like, sexual liberation in this movie. And I don't have the words to put to it. But from what I've heard and what I understand, it tackles him really well. And I thought that it was tackled really well.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Stone's performance blows me away in this movie.
It's insane.
Really great. The production design, the costume design, everything just feels, like, kind of weird. But it never feels so weird that you're, like, disgusted or, like, taken out of the movie. If anything, it draws you in more. And I think that's very impressive and very cool. This movie's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and, you know, you're watching things happen, you're like, okay. And then something funny starts happening. You're like, I didn't think there was going to be a joke here. In fact, if I was writing it, I wouldn't put a joke here. But at the same time, good on you for putting a joke here.
It's an incredible understanding of tonal dissonance.
Yeah.
Right? And like, being like, oh, here's the tone. Now here's something we say that's completely out of tone, but yet it still works because of how off it is.
Yeah.
It's just off. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the visual effects are really good. I thought the shift between black and white and color was really interesting. And kind of like, you know, it's that nonverbal storytelling. When it makes that switch, it's for a very specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
And as you watch Bella, Emma Stone's character, go on, now that the world is in color, things are different because of it. And the story is on a new trajectory here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Could this win Best Picture?
100%, it could absolutely, definitely, maybe win this.
As soon as the nominations came out, and my first pick, this was my first pick. Or prediction, I should say. I've since changed, but do I think it could win? Yes.
Absolutely.
This is another certified maybe.
Yeah. All right, the last one is Zone of Interest. That's the last one, right?
Yeah.
I have not watched Zone of Interest, so I'll just let you
know. I forgive you. Steven Spielberg called this, like, this generation's Schindler's List, and, like, talked high praise of it, and also in the same interview called Schindler's List the best movie that he's ever made, and then compared this movie to that, so you know it's good.
He liked Godzilla Minus One, so it must be.
Hey,
so
there you go.
Credibility, you know what I'm saying?
Man, it's... You don't see almost anything happen in this movie. It's very interesting. But you just know what's happening on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
And it's like genuinely horrifying. Mm-hmm. And it makes you feel gross inside. And the acting is very naturalistic. Like, yeah. It doesn't feel like these people are acting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love Robert Downey Jr. giving his speech at the end, you know, of Oppenheimer. He's like, he wasn't remembered for Nagasaki, not for Hiroshima, you know, but for this and that, and the angry, but he's acting. And you're loving how much he's acting. These are just people walking around, right? Oh, we're just having a meeting over here. Just making some breakfast.
Yeah.
And it's the natural feeling of that, knowing what's happening on Auschwitz, right there. Like, yeah. Their front door faces the gate into the concentration camp.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, again, I mentioned inside, you're hearing gunshots, you're hearing screams, there's no shadow of a doubt horrible things are happening 10 feet to your left.
Yeah.
Right? And I'll let you watch it, but they do something very interesting at the end of the movie with a cut to something else for a moment and kind of what that says about what happened in World War II and what it means. And the movie ends and you just feel like, oh man, this is gross.
Yeah. But the only thing I'll say about it is I saw like a clip of it when I watched the Oscar stuff.
Yeah.
And it was the multiple shots of him walking around the house, just turning off the light,
mm-hmm.
walking around. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like if they just set up a bunch of like tripods, the cameras on tripods across the house, yeah. and he just went around and did it. And they got those shots. And I'm like, that's incredible. And that's why I really want to watch it because yeah.
they do a very good job that way of making him someone who's very, you know, he thinks very systematically. Mm-hmm. There's a process to do something and we're going to take this one step at a time. And they make it clear that that's why he's the one at Auschwitz, mm-hmm. because he's the one who's the most efficient at killing the most amount of Jews, the fastest and the cleanest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's horrible, but
yeah,
really well done.
Yeah. So, at the end of the day, what you said you've since changed your opinion, so what is your new opinion?
Do you want to say yours first?
Do you want me to say my verse?
I think so.
Okay. Well, this is the most difficult category by far.
Agreed.
My pick is Past Lives. Because...
Like, your personal pick.
Yes. It's amazing in every sense of the word. But my prediction... This is the one. Okay, my pick was easy. Okay, yeah. Out of all these. But my prediction, I'm like, I have no idea. And hearing you talk about Zone of Interest, I'm like, well, that sounds like I could have a very good chance of winning. And Poor Things is, like, just weird enough. You know what I'm saying? Not just weird enough, but it's weird enough for them to be like, oh, we like weird. Yeah. Like, the Academy. I could see them picking that.
The Shape of Water won Best Picture.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So. Yeah, so it's like... but... And I still haven't picked, so I'm rolling off. But I'm... Yeah. It's down to Past Lives, Poor Things, or Zone of Interest. And Zone of Interest is just from word of what you've heard and what I've heard online and what I've seen.
Yeah.
But yeah. You know, I'm just going to stick with Past Lives for all of it.
Gosh, I'd love that so much.
Yeah.
I think it'd be so great. That's my personal pick.
Yeah.
It's my favorite movie from last year, which also, Everything Everywhere All at Once is my favorite movie from last year, and it won. If yeah. I could have 2 years in a row, dude.
That'd be amazing.
But I am... Okay. On air, I'm locking this in. I am predicting Anatomy of a Fall is going to win.
Interesting. Interesting. There you go.
I'm not super confident, but that is what I'm putting out there.
All right. That's fair.
And look, listener, I'll be honest with you. We are done.
Okay.
But also we got to get going because
yeah.
we got Dune Part 2 in 45 minutes. Yeah. So thank you for listening. Mm-hmm. We hope you enjoyed. Come back in 2 weeks for something that we don't know what we're doing yet.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you enjoy. And in the meantime, Luke, let me send us off with a send-off.
Yeah, so thanks for listening. Tune into the Oscars to see what's going on. I'm excited for that. And but before then, don't forget to vote for Morgan Freeman as Best Actor. See you then.
Hey, thanks, Luke. And thank you, listener, for listening to this episode. We really do appreciate it. If you want to keep up with us and the show, please feel free to follow us on Twitter, or X, if you will, at Pod Screen Time to see some quick thoughts of ours regarding movies or shows. You can also follow us on Instagram, again, at Pod Screen Time, to see when our episodes drop and any extra visuals that we want to show off. You can also catch up with both of us individually on Letterboxd to catch our thoughts and reviews on the movies that we watch. You can find me at The Shininator, and you can find Luke at Shin Glassman. If you want to hear more of Luke, feel free to check out his other podcast, Toku Talk Radio, where he discusses tokusatsu and anime with his sister Hannah. And if you want even more of Luke, who can blame you? You can take yourself over to his YouTube channel, Shin Glassman, where you can watch his videos that range from reviews to tier lists. They really are a blast. Links to all these things are in the description of this episode, so head there to find those and stay connected with us. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again in the next episode.